depended on it. Desperate to get as far as possible from Ethan and all the rest of them. One foot in front of the other, Kitty. Eyes on the horizon. No turning back. No giving in. Not this time. Not this time. But no matter how I fixed my eyes on the horizon, where the dusky Satsuma sun had just started to sink behind the intimidating ridge of the fells, the hacking in my chest was bound to defeat me eventually. At last, I slowed my sprint to a jog, then to a walk, and when I couldn't bear another second's agony, I stopped. Struggling for oxygen, I gripped the dry stone wall that ran alongside the road in bleached knuckles. Short, panting breaths surged painfully up through my windpipe. With my free hand, I clutched my stomach. I could feel bile rising up my gullet, the threat of another vomiting episode as anger and grief battled for mouthfuls of my sanity, but I willed it back. I needed to keep calm. I needed to keep focused. And above all, I needed to keep moving. I slumped down onto the tarmac and allowed myself the indulgence of another round of angry, puzzled tears. Bewildered motorists stared at me as they whizzed by, but they didn't stop. Well, why would they? They had their own affairs to see to. There was a part of me that didn't want to keep moving. That part of me wanted to curl up and die right there by the side of the road. The throbbing in my gut, the images whirling in my brain were almost enough to paralyze me. But deep inside, underneath the layers of taffeta and rage, some sort of survival instinct was fighting to make itself heard. Push on, it said. Get away, far away, and then there'll be time to mourn. I don't think I'd been there long. I could have been wrong. It could have been hours. My head was spinning so much that time didn't really seem to exist. But I think it was about 10 minutes later when a sunshine orange VW campervan, one of those cutesy pie 60s numbers with the bug front, pulled up beside me. Are you all right there, lass? The driver asked, leaning out of his window to examine me. Hastily, I wiped my eyes. Yeah, sorry, my car got towed? The dark-haired man cocked an eyebrow. What, your car got towed and they just left you here? There was the lilt of an Irish accent, nestling among the deep, gentle tones. It sounded reassuring. Made me think of my nan. Yeah, I said, wincing at the obvious lie. Great start, Kitty. Keep it up. The man didn't look convinced, but he refrained from commenting. Well, I can't just leave you here. You get a lot of boy racers down these side roads, you know. Where are you going? Anywhere, I grimaced. I mean, Wastwater. I'm going to Wastwater to a, gala dinner? I glanced down at my fetching wellies, colour-coordinated with the off-the-shoulder green taffeta ball gown I was wearing. For farmers. Gala dinner for farmers. Of course that's where I was going. I mean, why wouldn't I be? Oh, this just got better and better. Are you a farmer? The man asked. No, just, trying to fit in. None of my business, he said generously. Come on, hop in. I'm heading to the lakes anyway. I'll drop you off. I hesitated. I'd never hitchhiked before, and I couldn't suppress a feeling of danger. Stranger danger. That fear that's bred into you in your school days. Don't get into cars with strange men, Kitty. Don't let them give you sweets and just say no when they ask if you want to get into their van to see the puppies. This guy could be anyone, couldn't he? Offering me a lift. What was in it for him? I could hear my mum's voice in the back of my mind. Never trust a boy who offers you a favour, Angel. Men always expect to get paid. But mum wasn't here, and this man looked friendly enough to me. He was handsome in a scruffy sort of way, with jet black hair that curled onto his neck, long stubble and dark brown eyes. I think in the end, though, it was the smile. A lot.